Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together and study your word, study your prophetic words given to us. Thank you so much, Lord, for the victory over all of our enemies. Thank you, Lord, for keeping the enemies out of the house. That is the house of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, that's what we're going to talk about. Guarding the house from our enemies. Speaking, of course, of the house of God. And this first revelation, we called it the faction are losing their touch. These are enemies, of course, that are parts of the dragon, who are seeking to devour the man, child, and the woman. And this is Missy Pollock. In 8:29, she received this, of this 2021. She said, I dreamed that I opened an email on my phone. Well, I know a little bit about the rest of the revelation, so I'll say the faction have been stalking our women electronically by hacking into phones and emails. And also they have been attempting to spread their slanderous lies and separate people from his body, the Lord's body of believers. And also the deep state through Apple, Google, such things as that, have been hacking into computers. They interfere with our emails sometimes if they got a bad subject line they don't like. And it doesn't meet with their beast agenda. It was a picture of a piece of paper. The email was a picture of a piece of paper, a copy of a portion from a Bible study that David had done. In between the text were handwritten words that I knew were speaking against what David had shared. And her note is, the factions in the deep state and the church are losing their technical capabilities by keeping the truth of their criminal activities hidden. They can't keep it hidden. It's not possible. The only thing I remember seeing was a B with numbers behind it, and I knew it was referring to a variant of COVID-19. In the dream, I thought that this email was from the factious leader. And she puts, representing the factions in the deep state and the church. And I noted here that it represents him sending COVID-19 or variants by witchcraft, as we will see. At least two new COVID-19 variants have hit the United States, and they could be worse than the Delta variant in their infectiousness and the ability to stand up to vaccines, none of which are coming against them very much. But and according to a top medical authority, the Lambda variant, along with another one, so new it doesn't even have a Greek letter name yet, are causes of concern, according to Dr. Gregory Poland, director of the Vaccine Research Group at the famed Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. So far, the new variant has been called B1621. Okay, so that kind of fits the bill there. Spiritually speaking, the faction spreads their infection through many different variants to try to infect the body of Christ in every way possible. If one variation doesn't work, they will try another method to separate people. And of course, I'm talking about the faction in the government and in the church. I really didn't try to read it because I saw enough to know that it was factious and I knew I shouldn't read it. That's true. That's the way people get trapped, is then suspicious spirits come on them. Ephesians 5:8-18 says, for you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And she said, all of the sudden, my head started hurting on the left side. And then it went to the back of my head. In my dream, I thought, this is witchcraft. Mm-hmm. In the natural, I was battling a headache that was on the right side of my head that was almost completely gone. But then, in the dream, it hit the left side of my head. Then I woke up, and the left side of my head was hurting in real life. As a confirmation, right? Well, we have to cast down all the witchcraft symptoms of COVID sent by the factious leader and thoughts that the enemy tries to put into our minds, and pray against the witchcraft that is coming from the factions in the government and the apostates in the church. We don't accept them. We cast them down. Jesus took care of this at the cross. He bore our curse. He became a curse for us, and we're not under the curse. Remember our dream about the warrior angels stopping the bombs of the factious camp and returning them to the senders. Amen. She went on to say, the verses I received by faith at random for this dream, 2 Chronicles 28, 9 through 11. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out to meet the host that came to Samaria, the apostate faction against Judah, who worshiped the golden calf and made religious leaders of those who were not ordained of God. Yeah. And said unto them, Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into the hand, and you have slain them in a rage, which hath reached up to heaven. And now you purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not even with you trespasses of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and send back the captives that you have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, and I'm going to jump on down to verse 13, said unto them, You shall not bring in the captives hither, for you purpose that which will bring upon us a trespass against the Lord, to add unto our sins and to our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. Okay, so she received this by faith at random. What's the chances is it hits the nail right on the head here? You know, the wicked out there taking captive people that belong in Zion, okay, nor the bride. And she also got 2 Samuel 5 and 8 in context 6 through 10. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking that David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites, let him get up to the watercourse and smite the lame and the blind. What they were saying was, he couldn't even overcome the lame and the blind, much less come into here, right? So, that are hated of David's soul. Wherefore, they say, there are the blind and the lame. He cannot come into the house. And David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. Well, the apostate leadership were conquered by David to build the bride, who the angel in Revelation said was Jerusalem. Okay? The bride. Okay, here's one given to Graham Galanis. We called it Security Breach in the House. He got this on 8/26. Our youngest son, Graham, who is 7, woke up around 1 a.m. from a warning dream the Lord had given him. He was shaking head to toe, and his teeth were chattering. For a while, as I sat and prayed with him, he recounted it all to me later that day. Graham said, I dreamed that one of us accidentally ripped a section of wallpaper off of our living room wall. I believe the wallpaper represents the Word of God that builds a protective wall around us and our lives to shelter us from the enemy. And if we rip out certain sections of the Word and pick and choose verses, then we leave ourselves vulnerable to attack by the wicked. And he went on to say, this revealed a black anti-theft security device strapped with thin black cords to the wall. It beeped for a second after it was uncovered. The device was just like the ones that Walmart puts in their more valuable items to prevent them from being stolen. Well, the Holy Spirit is faithful when we read His Word to help us guard our consciences. He will alert us to our vulnerabilities so that we can be on our guard. Graham went on. He said, the alarm was then tripped by a burglar, and the police quickly came and arrested him. Yes, well, you know who the police are. That's the angels, right? Because when we get alerted to anything the devil is doing, we pray or we give commands, and they come to pass. Then the security device just fell right off of the wall on its own. We looked, but no one was there. Then Evelyn, my 5-year-old sister, said, look behind you. Then I saw Satan walking around inside the house. Well, we have to be careful not to leave any open doors that permit Satan to invade our house and to steal from us. The devil loves to try to strip us of our defenses by stealing the word that is sown in our hearts. Distractions and busyness that keep us from meditating on the word are one of the main ways that he does this. Matthew 13:18-22 speaks of this. He says, hear then, ye, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that hears the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. But he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So we see here only one out of four people that receive the word, bear the fruit, right? Matthew 12, 43 and 45 says, "But the unclean spirit, when he is gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest, and he findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished." In other words, it hasn't been filled up. That was the generation that Jesus spoke about. He prayed, he healed, he delivered people, and the demons came back. That was what Jesus said. Because they didn't fill up their house with good things, especially the Word of God. "Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation." This is a perfect picture of the factious false leader. Four times he's fallen into faction. Three times he repented, and we had a dream of him making a circle and coming in and going out, but that was the last time. And he's gotten worse every time. So it's just like it says here. "At first he looked like a snake, and then he looked like a horned devil. Finally, he looked like an angel, but not a real one." Oh, yeah, the devil. Well, we can see what the devil really is. He wants to appear as an angel of light. And we see here again that the enemy has many different variants or methods by which to try to deceive and destroy us. He had five blackish-gray feathered wings on both sides, and he carried a short gray sword. Well, the devil would love for us to believe that he carries a big sword, but it's really a small weapon against the sword of the Spirit and the power and authority that Christ gave unto us. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Yes, one of the men who is with this guy has claimed title after title after title. He's never satisfied. He keeps climbing the ladder. But he's still just as wicked as he ever was. So, when this happened, Daddy ran everyone into the bathroom, which was like an elevator tube that took us outside and right into our white Chevy Venture van. Well, the bathroom represents a place of repentance and getting rid of waste, you know, in our life. It's where we get cleaned up from our sins so that we can escape the curse of our enemies and the punishment that they tried to inflict upon us. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." Amen. And after we got out, Satan broke open the bathroom door, but it just looked like a normal bathroom. And of course, when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we have the Psalm 91 protection, and we're hidden from the schemes and the plans of the enemy to destroy us. Psalm 27:5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock." And that rock is Jesus, right? I don't know why, but we had a self-destruct button for the house in the van. We pushed it, and the house exploded into a huge fireball behind us. Well, we have to put to death the old nature. It must be burned up upon the altar of daily sacrifice. And this is how we defeat Satan in our lives. Colossians 3, 5 through 10 says this, "Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye also once walked, when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Notice, that's what image we're supposed to be coming into. The image of Christ, right? It was like an action movie. Satan went flying up and away with his six uppermost wings charred and smoking as he flew into a blackish-gray portal. So Satan lost big time. And then I woke up. Okay, Graham. Well, Luke 10, 17 through 20. "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Yes, the spirits are subject unto you. Unless you're walking in willful disobedience, and then you're subject unto them, because they administer the curse. And Andrew, Graham's dad, said, 3 days after this dream, our entire life savings in Wells Fargo was stolen from our accounts by a Wells Fargo representative. Wells Fargo is in the process of returning it all back to us. Like in the dream, Satan is conquered, right? This is victory over Satan's attempts to plunder us, right? Amen. And Andrew said, yesterday, as I was in prayer about this attack, the Lord told me to turn on the TV. I've never felt him tell me to do this before. A woman was singing a song with the chorus lyrics, quote, "When you play with fire, you get burned alive," unquote. I only heard one chorus because I had tuned in at the end and I started changing the channel, then stopped when I felt the Lord prompt me. This showed another pop star in big flashy sunglasses bragging about herself to news cameras on a CSI-type cop drama. Then she appeared on stage and was singing for maybe 30 seconds or so, when I started to think, okay, Lord, where is this going? And when all of a sudden the fictional pop star called Phoenix spontaneously burst into flames on stage right in front of a large audience and ironically was burned alive. I knew this was to show the fate of those human or spirit who attack us for performing the Lord's work. I know this attack was in retaliation for doing the cover art for the latest UBM book, The Truth About Born Again. We rest in the knowledge that God has already won the victory for us and vengeance is his. Amen. I looked up consuming fire in my Bible, Deuteronomy 4 and 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And yes, he makes war on the flesh every day. Get on God's side against the old man. Obey his word. It will put to death your old man. You'll get weaker and weaker as you read and submit to the Word. Deuteronomy 9:3 says, "Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them, and he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken unto you." Well, I thought of Hebrews 12:25-29. "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warneth them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven." Amen. That's the Word. That's the manna that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. That's Jesus Christ, right? "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, and that those things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace, whereby we may offer service, well-pleasing to God, with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Yes. Well, another one, and this one was given to the dad, Andrew Galinas, on 7/28. And we called it Strange Housemates. "I dreamed my wife, Morgan, and I were living in a large single-level house that we shared with several other people that we rarely ever crossed paths with, sort of like a timeshare. I noticed a few individuals showing up a few times throughout the dream." Well, the floor level of a house represents our earthly, soulish life. And as we will see, our spirit man shares this space with the old man and his relatives, I would say. Our old flesh nature that our spirit man is in constant competition with for control of our house or tabernacle. And of course, all the old man's relatives are the other people's old mans that fight against us too. And even those in the church have an old man that fights against us. They're constantly wanting to take control over our house or tabernacle, right? "There was an old man and two old women that came and went every now and then. One of the old women had reddish, light brown, shoulder-length hair, and the other, slightly more elderly woman, had a white, curly perm." Well, as we shall see, this old man represents the flesh nature, and the two old women represent Christians who are submitted to him in sin and confusion of apostate doctrines that allow the old man to live. They don't believe in living the crucified life. If you're not in the crucified life, you're not on the way to sanctification. It's that simple. Obedience to the Word is the crucified life. "They were going around the house doing various chores while they were there. They were very personable and friendly with us, but there was an eeriness in their presence, and I had the feeling that they had ulterior motives." Yes, they do. Religious people who are under the law, in submission to man and religion, believe in salvation by their own works. They're friendly up to a point until you cross their doctrines. And all the religious sects have an ulterior motive to convert you to their way of thinking and their religion. "There was also a young woman with long black hair who seemed to be in her mid-20s. This girl was also friendly, but to the point of being annoying, as she was beginning to interfere with our daily routine. I'd go to enter a room with my wife, but the black-haired girl was trying to be a gal pal with her. I could tell my wife was getting annoyed with this as well, but we both just kept trying to do whatever it was that we needed to get done that day. I believe this woman represents those who are submitted to darkness, you know, her dark hair, a Jezebel spirit of rebellion. They're always trying to distract us or seduce us away from the highway of holiness that we're supposed to be walking on, which goes to Zion, the bride. Many people will not arrive at the bride because of this, right? I remember she kept trying to get my attention by acting flirtatious towards me, but I just kept my eyes down and ignored her as I kept folding my clean laundry. Well, we have to resist the temptations of rebellion to the word in order to hang on to our clean garments of righteousness and hate the garment that's spotted by the flesh, meaning sin, right? There were other individuals I encountered in the house at various other times who did not exude any strangeness. As I sat on a couch in the living room, a tall young man with short, clean-cut blonde hair was gathering up a bundle of clean laundry in his arms. And I noticed that my gray tablecloth was in the bundle. And I said, "I'm sorry, but I think my tablecloth got mixed in with your laundry." He looked down at it and he said with a smile, "I think you and I must have the same tablecloth." Then I agreed when I looked closer at it and realized it had a checkered pattern while mine is striped. I then jokingly said, "I bet you've also got the same decor and color scheme in your house as I do." Then he assured me that he actually did. We got pretty excited when we realized just how kindred in spirit we both were. Well, this represents Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, he bore the stripes of our punishment unto death so that we could be counted as his brethren. This is a familiar thing that happens to all of us when we bump into somebody who has a kindred spirit because they're born from above. We get excited. We enjoy it, talking to them and so on, you know. Hebrews 2:9-13 says, "But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Don't necessarily avoid the sufferings. When you obey the word, you can suffer for it. That's okay. That's what the Lord says in Peter, right? "For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing thy praise. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God hath given me." Amen. And he said later, "Morgan and I went into the garage to get into our car and run some important errands," probably representing the works that God has given us to do. Our car in the dream was an old, very thin and dorky-looking silver hatchback. We didn't care what it looked like because it was able to drive us wherever we needed to go. That's pretty simple, right? Physical things are only a means to an end. And that should be serving the kingdom. And the things that the world considers valuable aren't what God considers valuable to the kingdom. It was a silver car, which is a place of sanctification. Silver, then gold, right? It's probably a 60-fold saint, right? But right when I was about to enter the car on the passenger side, I noticed the front right tire had been intentionally deflated. Then I looked and saw that all four tires had been emptied in the same way. The thought entered my mind that one of the older women in the house had done this. Well, our flesh nature and the enemy, using vessels of dishonor, is always trying to hinder us and sabotage the kingdom that the Father has ordained for us to work in, right? And it's part of our testing to weed out the lukewarm, you know, because some people never pass up this point. You know, they just keep getting distracted and so on and so forth, and hindrances stop them, and they, you know, get all kinds of questionings and so on and so forth, and they don't go on with the Lord. Then Morgan tried to start the engine, but all I could hear was the sound of running liquid coming from under the car. I got down on the floor and looked, but couldn't see any leaking fuel, because this is a spiritual draining of our fuel of the Word of God that the enemy drains out of us when we aren't vigilant to guard our spiritual man and his food, which is the Word, right? Amen. And he went on to say, "So then I just stood back up and said in a calm voice, 'Be repaired in the name of Jesus.' And just like that, the tires pumped themselves up full and the engine started right up." Well, you know what? As we live this Christian life and we desire to walk in the steps of Jesus, we will learn to do things by God's power rather than the natural ways of man. We're overcomers by faith and resting in the promises that are given to us in the Word of God. Romans 8:35 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Even as it is written, 'For thy sake we are killed all the day long.'" Yes, the old flesh is being put to death all day. Like Paul said, I die daily, right? All the day long. "We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." See, these are conquerors that are being put to death. That is speaking, of course, of the old man. "Through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, yes, that is so good. Now, as we began to back out of the driveway, we passed by the strange trio from earlier, consisting of the old man and the two older ladies. They were getting out of their large gold Super Duty pickup truck. And this might be representing the excess that the flesh and the world value, and also the prosperity doctrines of the apostate church. The old man made a strange comment to us as they were getting out of their truck. He said, while grinning, "I'm loving the free access to the hundreds of shows." Then he winked as he continued past him, and I felt in the dream that he was referring to using or hacking my wife's phone and using her personal television subscription she has on there. Well, when we have open doors in our lives through fellowship with the worldly things and indulging in the flesh man, it allows the enemy to hack into our lives. And, of course, the enemy in this case is the old man, right? and to breach our security. And we then are in danger of falling under the curses. Well, just after he winked, the brake pedal gave out and we began rapidly rolling towards the street behind us. This could be representing the flesh nature running away with our lives due to feeding the flesh man and starving the spiritual man. Ephesians 4:25-32 says, "Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that hath need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you." As we were crossing over the street, I looked to the right to see if we were in danger of being hit by traffic. The only thing I saw coming at us was a bus-sized, giant, tangled snake on wheels. Well, he has in parentheses, "The curse will hit us like a Mack truck when we get out from under the blood of Christ." Yep, and also Hebrews 10:26, "For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries." Amen. We just continued to let the car roll until we were safely clear on the other side of the street in the short grass. Well, the mown short grass here represents cutting off the flesh so that our spirit man is back in control of our lives. 1 Peter 1:24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of the grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower falleth." Amen. So after the snake thing passed, we drove back up the driveway and went back inside the house. Well, you know, we have a Passover from the enemy when we abide in Christ. He helps us overcome and climb up the hill to Mount Zion to reclaim our house, our promised land. Amen. When I got back inside, I was standing near a couch where the old man and his wife were exchanging a kiss. Then the older woman with the short, white, permed hair snuggled up to his right side and gave the man an intimate kiss. And when they noticed me frowning at them, they broke it up. Yes, there's people, strange people inhabit our space. And when we get on God's side against our old man and all of his lovers, then we can scatter all of our enemies because we're agreeing with God's word. Amen. And then I woke up. Well, let me say, we should guard our house. We only know one way to do it. We must become familiar with the Word of God. If we walk in agreement with the world, the old man's going to take advantage of us, and the wicked will have authority over us. As I said before, the devil and his demons are the ones who administer the curse. And we give them permission when they take advantage of us. We are told that we've been given authority to bind and to loose. And whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And that just means that by our thoughts and by our words and by our actions, we're either binding or we are loosing. It's not just by your words, by saying, I bind, because the devil still takes advantage of people who say that while they live in sin. It makes him no difference. So it has more to do with not only what we say, but what we think and what we act and where what we do. Because if we sin willfully after we have a knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Where does that come from? That's what the demons and the devil are here to do. They know their rights. They know they have authority over you when you walk in sin. So if you're living under judgment, stop and realize, what part of the Word of God am I rebelling against? How am I opening a door? All of this has been about doors that are opened, you know. How am I opening a door? There is a cause for every curse. The Bible says the curse that is causeless alighteth not. So find out what the cause is. Don't just continue living your life going downhill under the curse, under so-and-so, all these things. Find out what you're doing contrary to God's word and repent. Repent just means change your mind. Go the other way, right? So get in agreement with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Many people think that they walk with Jesus, but they don't, because they're not in agreement with him. That's what the word says. We come into agreement with him as we learn who he is, what he likes, what he dislikes. We become familiar with him by studying the Word of God every day. It's the most important thing that we do. And when we're familiar with him, our spirit, our conscience alert us when we're going the wrong way. And it may alert us more and more. We may get warnings from the Lord in our conscience. We may get a warning in a dream. If you don't pay attention to that warning, you're not going to get out of the curse that's at the other end of it. Okay? There's a cause for every curse. We don't want to live that way. Jesus became accursed for us. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. He gave us authority over Satan and all of his demons, as we've already seen here. He gave us this authority, but you don't have any authority if you're walking in rebellion against God. The curse is yours. It belongs to you if you are walking in rebellion against God. Be humble towards the Word of God. There are people out there that can share things with us that may be contrary to what we're used to hearing, or the things we like to hear with our tickled ears, you know. We should listen. Even a child can speak a revelation. Like we just saw, Graham got a revelation that is a correction to, I'm sure, a lot of people. A child. The Lord loves to use children. He loves to use simple things, you know, like me, to convict people of sin so that they will turn and go the other way. We're in the time, by the way, of the spirit of John the Baptist. The spirit of repentance is going forth. It is convicting people. People are changing their ways, changing their minds. And of course, this is going to be followed by the ministry of Jesus. That's right. John the Baptist came on the scene first. Then Jesus took up where he left off, literally speaking the same things that John spoke about repentance. And then, of course, Jesus led us into his new covenant and all of his promises and all these things. And this is exactly what's happening. The things that have been are the things that shall be. But we must listen to the spirit of repentance, because he's making a way or a path for the Lord to come into your life, just as John said, just as it was quoted of John in the Old Testament. Repentance is a way to have more of the Lord in your life. Repentance is what you must seek out as you read the Word of God every day. You don't know what's right and wrong unless you read the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, you should do it with repentance. That means humbling yourself to the Word. And also faith, because everything you see in there is yours, right? Everything that God has given you by promise is yours, and you can exercise faith. For one thing, we need to believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, that he has taken away our sins and nailed them on the cross. And the old man was nailed to that cross, and the new man, Jesus Christ, was given to us as a gift. Amen. We confess him with the good confession before men, and that is that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. In the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Himself for us. There's an exchange there. Your old life on the cross, the new life of Jesus given to you. He gave his life for you. Now you have his life. That's the good confession, right? Amen. Well, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you mightily bless your people who are listening today, to have them examine their conscience, not to become an introvert, but just to see if there's anything your still small voice has been speaking against in their life. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you show everyone who is tuned in here if there's anything displeasing to you that you would like them to change. Now, we know it's line upon line, here a little and there a little. You don't tell everything all at once. People would be overwhelmed. But we go through these steps and stages where you deal with us with different things. And we know if we know something is wrong, we always should turn away from it because it is bringing us under the curse. And but God will deal with us with things that we don't even know are wrong. And he wants to constantly do that until he has cleaned us up and gotten rid of all the waste of the old man in our life. And we desire earnestly to be sanctified and to be in the bride, for instance. Because in that way, we will avoid a lot of the pitfalls that are coming in the tribulation period. And thank you, Father, for having your witnesses prepared for the tribulation period. And you've told us, Lord, that that's the ministry of the man-child and the bride, just as it was with Jesus and the bride of his day, who John the Baptist said were those first fruits disciples following him. And Lord, right now there's a first fruits disciple following you. And we ask, Lord, that you convict and that you put faith. Some people, they don't ever come out of the conviction stage or letting the devil condemn them for past sins, which is a way that he has of robbing your faith. But we forget those things which are behind. We press forward towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We cast down condemnation, because if we've confessed our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And we must believe the word of God. He's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We must believe what the word says, so that condemnation will not take our life away, literally. You can't have faith and condemnation at the same time. The devil knows that, so he comes to remind you of everything you ever did. Never mind that you confessed it. It doesn't make him any difference. He's going to condemn you for it. But you got to cast him down, right? And walk by faith. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for these lessons today about open doors that shouldn't be open, should be closed. We thank you, Lord, for that in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to grant us grace to close every door that the devil or the old man of the flesh wants to come through to ruin our life and stall our fruit and on. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Amen.